The Ira Kaufman Podcast is presented by Bill Curry Ford. Get 0% APR financing for up to 72 months, plus up to $20,000 off MSRP right now at Bill Curry Ford. It's their Memorial Day sales event all month long. Bill Curry Ford, home of the nationwide lifetime warranty on new vehicles, family owned for 65 years, a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. Shop now, BillCurryFord.com. All right, here he is, still fresh off hip surgery, the sage of Tampa Bay sports, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, Ira Kaufman, the king of Newport Richey, the custodian of Canton, Uncle Ira, in the flesh. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeKemper of JoeBucksFan.com is here. If you did not listen to our last podcast, find it at JoeBucksFan.com, Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Podcast Addict. Sage has many thousands of subscribers, the ones you can see publicly. He's got the biggest numbers in the subscriber realm. The Sage's podcast always kicks ass, and we appreciate all the support. Whenever we post it, there you are, because we can see and track a lot of the downloads. So thank you for your support and for everything at JoeBucksFan.com, which continues to kill it. You know, we got those numbers too. So thanks to everyone, and thanks to everyone supporting Florida's Elite Restoration. Florida's Elite Restoration, they are your first phone call, your first place you go to check out what to do if you have an emergency. You call them 24/7, fire, flood, mold, storm damage, wind damage. They are licensed mold remediation specialists. They're not just a mold guy. They will come out, give you a free evaluation at your property immediately of what's going on with your disaster. And if you need them, then you sign an agreement to use their services. They will fight and battle with your insurance company to fight the corruption that doesn't want you to get the money you need and have already paid for to get your property restored. Florida's Elite Restoration, family owned. Josh Martin and his crew. Josh is a huge Bucks fan. And if when you first call them with your disaster, mention Ira Kaufman or Joe Bucks fan, you'll get $500 back if you eventually need their services, but just let them know when you call the first time. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Put them in your storm plan. Put them in your disaster plan. Check them out now, and you'll know who to call in your time of need, someone you can trust. All right. Thanks again to Bill Curry Ford. And the man of the hour is out of his walker. So, Ira, you continue to forge ahead. You're not taking pain medication. You will not let Buccaneers fans down. And now we've got plenty to talk about with this schedule. But how are you, Ira?
I'm doing well, Steve. I still have 42 Percocet tablets. I better not say that too loud because people really want that stuff. But I haven't taken any. I'm not going to take it unless the pain gets worse. I'm on a 1 or 2 on a scale of 10. Very stiff. Steve, the left leg, very stiff. A lot of bruising. Got a patch on it. Going to see the doc in about 2 weeks. But I'm up and about. Doing some exercises. A lot of ice. I want to drive. Therapist came in today. She goes, absolutely not. I don't see why I can't because it's the left hip. Lee, I don't use my left leg when I'm driving the car. But they want her on the side of caution. So, you know, they just keep saying, don't overdo it. Don't overdo it. So I'll be a good boy, Lee. I'll be a good little soldier and do what they tell me.
All right, Sage. So look, this schedule is out. First, let me throw it out there that four primetime games. Four. We speculated three. We kind of hung around three. Wouldn't be surprised if there were two. Now we've got four at Atlanta Thursday night, and that's early October, then early November at Kansas City, Monday Night Football, followed by Baltimore, in between at home, Monday Night Football, and then late in the season, Dallas, December 22nd, which is Sunday Night Football. Your thoughts?
All right, Lee, let's focus right in on prime time. Number one, the fact that the Bucs got four games, I thought they would get three. That doesn't sound like the witness protection program, Lee. It does not. So, sorry, Jason, you may not be able to keep up that theme of disrespect because, Lee, there are a couple of teams out there that got, I believe they got zero. The Panthers?
Yeah.
And there might have been one more. I can't remember. I thought you're obligated to get one, I thought. But the Bucks got four. And the one I'm focused on, Lee, the one that you always look at first for me, is the Thursday night game, especially if it's a road game, which it is in Atlanta, divisional game. But Lee, I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, you know, Lee, they're playing a home game on the previous Sunday. So they're not coming back from the road, you know, in the wee hours, 2 o'clock in the morning.
1 p.m. game.
Yeah, I like that, Lee. The trip to Atlanta is about as minimal as you can get. You know, it's a 1 hour flight, boom. So I like that. And Lee, as a bonus, if you're looking for a bonus, you have extra time. And I believe they're going to play the Saints on the road, you know, and you'll have 10 days to prepare for that game. Yeah, so all in all, Lee, it could have been a lot worse. There could have been another Thursday night game. There wasn't. The Monday night games don't bother me nearly as much. You know, going up to Atlanta doesn't scare me. Cousins should be healthy by then, but I still think the Bucks have a better team as things stand right now. Four primetime games, Lee. You know what that is? That's Aretha Franklin and respect, Lee. That's what that is.
We forget Jason Light was a pre-med major at Nebraska. They don't let any old football player in the pre-med at a college like Nebraska. I wonder if his kvetching, not that it's unwarranted, I wonder if all his kvetching was twofold. One, to actually get people to give the Bucks respect, but moreover, the NFL. You know, we reporters aren't putting out the schedule. NFL, there's this guy that comments, and he's a great commenter. He comments all the time. He said the NFL.com had their hand in picking out the schedule. I'm like, come on, dude. I said, that's like the Budweiser truck drivers had something to do with the Trans Bud Light commercial. Like, they designed it and planned it and implemented it. Give me a break. But what I'm saying is, well, wonder if his, I don't want to use the word whine, right. I wonder if his complaints
right.
reached the proper ills on Park Avenue, proper ears on Park Avenue. I wonder that. At any rate, I think this is a really good schedule for the Bucks. Did you not write about the race to 10, that they have to, historically, they got to win 10 games?
Yes, I did. Yes,
well,
I did.
Just looking at the schedule without going deep in the schedule, I think before the bye, they should have 5 wins. After the bye, I think they can get 5 wins.
Interesting.
You know, at first I thought this is really good. Oh, the 49ers at home right before the bye, 1 p.m. kickoff, but the 49ers are coming off a bye.
If I was a GM or a head coach, Steve, I don't know how you feel, but I think I'd be a little conflicted about whether to root for a lot of primetime games. I can see both sides as prestige, but Steve, do you really need the prestige, or it messes up your routine a little bit? I'm not sure it's a great thing having more primetime games. I understand why teams like the Chiefs, even the Jets, with you know, the intrigue around the quarterback. But, Steve, if I'm the GM or I'm the owner or I'm the coach, I don't know that more is better in that regard.
No, I mean, the word on the street is the first thing the coaches look at is midweek games. How many Thursdays did we get? When did we get them? And there are 14. The schedule guru of the NFL, Mike North, he's done a bunch of interviews. I listened to one of them. He explained 14 NFL teams this year have multiple Thursday night or Wednesday games. And wow. the Bucks are not in that class. So
that's almost half the league, Steve. Yeah.
Yeah. And he explained how they try to, you know, in those situations, they spread them out and they figure it out. But 14 teams are, you know, not too happy today. The Bucks are not in that camp. I think that's what's more important at this point, the way the NFL is operating, that you don't have two. The Bucks getting that Thursday night game early is actually probably a good thing, and no complaints.
You know what could have made it a lot worse was, I think they're playing at the Chargers this year. Wait, at the Chargers?
Yes. Yes.
Imagine if the Thursday game was at the Chargers, Lee. I mean, that would be a problem.
Yeah. Well, you're touching on something very interesting, Ira. There's a guy out there, Adam Schefter tweeted it out, otherwise I would have never noticed it. Some guy, last name Spiros, I don't know if that rings a bell, the older guy, looks like right. He's in his 60s. This guy was writing for bookies.com, and he didn't go really deep as far as the written word, but he did the research, and he's a you know, there's people out there that look at rest. They think that rest is the key to a good season. If you get enough rest, meaning fewer Thursday night games, fewer travel. The Bucks are like 10th fewest miles they have to travel, 3rd fewest time zones they have to cross throughout the season. Chargers were the worst. Chargers, they have to travel the most. They have the most time zones to cross. San Francisco is up there, and I'm like, oh, boy, that's going to help the Bucks, mate. And then, once again, they got a bye week before they play the Bucks. So I don't think the rest factor is going to come into play with San Francisco.
Steve, one quick point before your next question, Steve. I don't know how you guys feel about this, but you hear it a lot. Like, you know, strength of schedule, and it's based on, 2023 records, guys. Lee, I don't put a lot of stock in it, Lee. I don't put a lot of stock in it. Teams change markedly,
yes,
from year to year. I think one of the great things about the NFL, if I'm listing like top three, I think it's one of them. The teams that go from last to first all the time, the five teams that don't make the playoffs the year before, that make the playoffs the following season all the time. This is a constant. This is not a once-in-a-while thing. So,
no.
Lee, you know, to me, Lee, I'll look at the schedule in the middle of the year this season and make a judgment about how teams are doing this season. And then, Lee, then I think it's a much fairer gauge to say, the rest of the way, you know, the Bucs schedule doesn't look that bad. I don't put that much stock in last year's records.
That's a big pet peeve of Warren Sharp. He says that's faulty logic to go by the record of the previous season. He tries to look at personnel, and also he leans on Vegas. What does Vegas think? Now, I saw something yesterday. For 38 straight years, there's been at least four teams that weren't in the playoffs the previous year that made the playoffs, you know, like let's say 2024. There will be a minimum four teams that make the playoffs this year if the trend continues that were not in the playoffs last year. And that would be the 39th straight year.
That is a tremendous mark of pride for the NFL, Steve. I think it's a big reason for its popularity, too.
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, it's exciting for fans, and that's it. Sage, I look at the early part of the season, and I don't like the following. Maybe you can tell me I'm nuts. But, you know, the Bucks have three of their first four at home, which is good, right? On paper, Washington, they go to Detroit in week two, then they come home for Denver and Philadelphia. But those Denver and Philadelphia games are September games at 1 o'clock. And if you're talking about draining a team, I mean, who's playing back-to-back at 1 o'clock in Florida? That's not a home field advantage to me. You know, I don't know how Todd Bowles is going to spin it or handle it, but then after that second Philadelphia game, which you know is going to be crazy physical, it's a rematch, a lot of Eagles fans, Devin White's going to be at least trying to go insane. And
they got Saquon Barkley now, too.
Yes, they do. They're a good team, at least. We don't know if they're better than that. And then you have to go to Atlanta after that on short notice. I don't know. I don't like those back-to-back 1 o'clock games. I can't remember the last time we've had back-to-back 1 o'clock games in Tampa in September.
Lee, I noticed it too. The first game is late afternoon, and those other two home games early in the year are not. I was a little bit surprised at it. But Lee, I'll start at the beginning. I like playing the Commanders, Lee, in week one. I like it. Now look, whenever you're going to play them, they're not a very good team. They won four games last year. You know, if Daniels is the real deal, maybe they can win seven. But, you know, that's not a contending championship team by any stretch. Dan Quinn's first year on the sidelines for Washington. And Lee, when you, Steve, and I talked about what would be a good first week matchup, I wanted the Falcons right out of the bat, Lee, because, and I think you agreed with me, because of the Cousins injury, let's get him early. But I also mentioned Jaden Daniels. Now, Lee, I've got a column, and I was shocked, Lee. You know, sometimes, Lee, and I know you've been through this, you're doing a little bit of research, and you stumble upon something like, is that right? And it happened, Lee, to me today. Lee, I looked at the last 3 years of quarterbacks that were drafted in the first round. First round. So that did not include Will Levis. Did not. And so I went back to 2021, Lee. There were nine guys. And, Lee, I looked at their first start. They all started somewhere in their rookie season, somewhere, and not always a week one. But I looked at their start number one. Lee, they were collectively 0-9. They were 0-9. It's not always the fault of Bryce Young. You know, he didn't have much of a team. Trevor Lawrence, they weren't very good that year. But, Lee, they're 0-9 collectively for a reason. You know, they're learning the game. And I don't have any question about Jaden Daniels, Lee. I don't know how good he's going to be. He looks like a good prospect. But, Lee, I sure like getting him in week one before he gets his bearings. I like that matchup for Tampa.
Well, you'll like this even more. Of the Bucs' first eight games, potential, and that's a key word, potential. Potentially, the Bucs could be playing half those games against rookie quarterbacks.
That's okay. Outstanding, Lee. That's outstanding.
All depends about what's going on in Atlanta.
And Denver.
Well, I'd be right. Really surprised if Sean Payton doesn't start Bo Nix. I'd be very surprised.
Yeah, and then you got Atlanta. That's right.
By the way, that's week number three. So
yes.
Right
yes.
Off the bat there, too.
And who's the fourth one, Lee?
They play the Falcons twice.
Well, the Falcons games. Twice. Yeah. Steve, Todd Bowles and Jaden Daniels, week one. I think that's an advantage for the Buck defense, Steve.
Well, gosh, you certainly hope so. If they're healthy, I mean, they can throw all kinds of things at him. And if he's going to run a lot, I don't know who's going to chase him. But we'll...
He can hurt you on the ground, Steve. He can.
You know, it should be fun, but that should be advantage Bucks. Same thing with Denver, like Lee mentioned. And you know, I see it. I wrote about it. They have to go 3-1. You have to if you're going to start with three early home games. And then because if you're 2-2... then you're going to Atlanta on the short week. You're not going to be favored to go in there on a Thursday night. Nobody is. And right. And then you go to New Orleans, you're probably looking at 3-3 to face the Ravens. And that's, you know, you can't all of a sudden be a 5-5 team and hope to win 12 games. It's just not going to happen.
That week two game looks very rough in Motown. Very rough.
Yeah, it does. I don't think anybody expected the Bucks to 17-0. So
I think Detroit's got a hell of a team, Lee. I think they got a hell of a team.
Yeah.
A couple of fun things with the schedule, Ira. Carolina, both games are in December. Now that's not really when you want to face them, but it really depends what you actually think of Carolina. How do you feel about that?
I look at it as a positive, Steve. I really do. Wins are so crucial down the stretch. I mean, look what happened last year. The Bucs needed that game, and who'd they have? They had Carolina, Lee. They didn't play great. In fact, they played lousy, but it was Carolina. Lee, are the Panthers going to be better? It's hard to imagine they're going to be worse. You know, they won one freaking game or whatever. I can't complain. And, Lee, the last two games in the division at home, I know what New Orleans did last year to Tampa. At Ray J, I know I'm well aware of it. The final score didn't even tell, you know, the tale that day. They were beat bad. The Bucs were beat bad by the Saints.
Like the old days.
It really was, but Lee, I don't think you could complain about playing Carolina twice in December. I don't.
No. Here's something else that I don't know if Bucs fans would be happy to hear about. I mean, in a macro sense, it would be very cool, but in a micro sense, it would be very disturbing. Now, we were applauding that the Bucs have four primetime games. And by the way, I am very confident ownership loves that. Exposure equals revenue. The Bucs potentially, there's that word again, could have five primetime games. You're like, what are you talking about? Well, if the division is up for grabs between the Saints and the Bucs entering week 18, it's not shocking that they would put the Bucs-Saints game in primetime, whether that be on NFL Network on a Saturday night or Sunday night football.
I hear you. Steve, go over the game starting with that Atlanta game. It sounds like that's going to be a tough stretch for the Bucs.
Well, Atlanta's week five, and then it's at New Orleans, home for Baltimore. That's the one home night game. Monday Night Football, the Glazers are going to cash in with Lamar Jackson in town. And then the following Sunday, that's the week eight rematch against Atlanta. So they knock both of those Falcons games out of the way, which I'm very excited about early in the season. Hopefully they can sweep them, which will just completely deflate everything Atlanta hype. But then after that game, they go to Kansas City and then home for San Francisco. That's a brutal stretch there. And
it is, Steve. It is.
Yeah, yeah, and then you got the bye week. So bottom line is you've got those first 10 games before the bye week. And, you know, look, we believe the Bucks are a good team, so we can't sit here, you know, as Lee would say, gnawing our fingers and you know, freaking out. But, you know, you gotta win. That's why I'm saying they have to start 3-1. If you're going to go 2-2 and then go to Atlanta and come back for Baltimore and see Atlanta again and the Chiefs and San Francisco, 4-6 at the bye week, they can recover from that, Ira, with the schedule the way it is. But you know what? You're going to have a lot of fans checking out, and it's going to be what we saw last year. So then they have to come back and smack around some bad teams and beat somebody good and get into the playoffs with 9 wins. That's not what anybody wants to see.
You're right. That's a great point, Steve. Lee, they were dead in the water, 4-7. Yeah, the schedule eased up. It did. You know, they played Carolina twice at that point after the 4-7 start. But, Lee, you can't count on that kind of finish every year. You don't want to have to count on it. Lee, one thing we haven't mentioned, and it's another reason that I think it's a good schedule from a Buck Nation standpoint. I do. The bye week, week 11 now, to me, that's about perfect. However, 2 years ago, they had the bye week in week 11. They did win the division, but they finished 8-9. And then in 20 and 21, those great years, they had late season bye weeks. And then last year, they had an early season bye week. Lee, if I'm picking a week, what do I want? I think I might pick week 11.
I'm always the later the better when it comes to buys. When the Bucks in 2020, it was like the first week of December.
I think it was week 13.
You're fresher for the stretch run. And as Steve pointed out in one of his stories, it sure didn't hurt that Devin White and Donald Smith both came down with the virus and they had to sit out a game after the bye. So that was icing on the cake.
Steve, I don't think you could complain about a week 11 bye week.
No, you just don't want it to be week 3 or 4 when people don't necessarily need the rest. But as long as you're midseason and beyond, everybody needs the time off and they can fight toward it and all that stuff. So, yeah, I think it's good. They hit it pretty well there with the bye week. Ira, as far as the national games, you know, I thought it was worth noting that the Raiders, the iconic Raiders, which always draw well and there's interest and you know the history with all that, the Raiders got 1 primetime game and the Bucks got 4. If anybody had said that to me last week that would have happened, I would have bet everything I had that it wouldn't have happened.
Lee, to me that comes down to one thing and one thing only. They don't have a quarterback, Lee. They don't have one.
It's all about the quarterback. There are people out there, there's a sect of football fans that they just refuse to believe quarterback is an important position. They'll scream at you and yell at you and carry on all night long. But it's all about the quarterback.
And Lee, Aiden O'Connell, whatever that guy's name is,
O'Connell.
He doesn't draw the eyeball, Steve. He just doesn't.
Hey, Ira, forget about what you think, which we've already heard. And, of course, it's always very important. And Lee and I have checked in. We've yet to hear from Bill Curry Ford, general manager, Sean Sullivan, on what he thinks. But he's so busy with that kickoff the summer Memorial Day sales event all month. 0% financing, just incredible deals, quadrupling offers and doubling offers for military. Check it all out, BillCurryFord.com, as we mentioned before. But Sage, how do you think the Bucks? How do you think internally, Todd Bowles, Jason Light, how do they feel about this schedule?
I got to think they feel positive. I'd be disappointed if they don't. Now, Lee, you're never going to get everything you want. But to me, there's so many positives about this now. Lee, I will say that midseason stretch, Lee, it's formidable. It's formidable. There's no question about it. But, Lee, we knew the teams that they were going to play. We knew they were going to Detroit. We knew they were playing the Chiefs, the Ravens, and the Niners. Lee, nobody's surprised about it. We knew about it. It's just a question of when. I think this is a favorable schedule. It's not perfect. I think it's damn appealing.
But in my eyes, this is pretty darn close.
Your Chiefs, of course. How do you feel about the Bucks heading out there Monday Night Football? November 4th, you know, going to be a rowdy night, probably not a winter night. One thing to note, the Bucks did not get a cold weather game this year. Yeah, of course.
Of course,
in Kansas City, early November could be 45 and nice and breeze, or early December in Carolina, same thing. But
that same thing. Yeah, nice breeze. That's right. Lee, I'll tell you this. And you always talk about it, Lee, and I think the Chiefs game is the key in bringing it up and accentuating it. Lee, if Bowles cobbles together a consistent pass rush, if Braswell turns out to be good, if Diaby takes another step forward, and I'm not going to talk about Logan Hall or Shayinka, Lee, I'm not going to do it. But, Lee, that's a game where Braswell could show up. And I'll say this, Lee, and you know this better than anybody. You don't put the heat on Mahomes, he's going to shred you.
I'm trying not to talk about pass rush. I'm in a good mood. I don't need to go mental here.
Lee, we don't know for a fact that Braswell isn't going to be an impact player. We don't know that.
I just do not put any stock in what a rookie pass rusher can or can't do. I just really don't. History says unless the guy's like an insanely good talent, you know, like right. Top five pick or something, that guy's not going to have an impact his rookie year. And the last time the Bucks thought they had something as an edge rusher this century, two times they thought they had something, their rookie edge rusher, he never got a second contract. Adrian Claiborne and Noah Spence. So I'm really not trying to think about Braswell. His strength, one play, I know it's one play in underwear football, but okay, you know, this guy, I can see he's a physical freak, but I'm just not banking on him at all. I'm not banking on Joe Tryon. I'm surely not banking on Logan Hall. I'm hoping with Yaya, and that's a dirty word. I don't want to go mental. I really don't.
I think the Bucks would be favored, Steve, week three against Denver at home, I would think, especially with a rookie quarterback, the likelihood. Week four, Steve, the Eagles, well, we don't know about the Eagles, Steve. They got talent, but boy, they sucked at the end of last year. Awful, awful, awful. I think they got internal problems. I think there might be a problem with the coach, Lee. That could be an even game, that Philly game week four.
Philly game, I think you're talking about Sean Payton for a second there. I'm like, wow, you're on to something I never heard yet.
No, I think the Bucks will be favored against the Broncos, Lee. I do.
Oh, yeah. Philly's interesting. You know, they clearly have talent. But, yeah, the way they ended the season last year, let's just put it this way. Sirianni is on thin ice with the Philly fans, I think.
That's a great point, Lee. Steve, I don't know what to make of the Eagles. I just don't. I think I was foolish because I think I picked Philly to win the playoff game, basically saying, well, you know, they got a lot of talent, and they can't be this bad. And, you know, somebody in the week leading up to that game, somebody from One Buck Place, told me that the Eagles were a mess internally, and it turned out that the guy was right. Lee makes a good point, Steve. It wouldn't take much. It wouldn't take much to turn Eagle Nation hard against that administration right there. I think they're hanging by a thread.
Well, it is awfully early, but yeah, sure, they would be if they jump out 0-2 or something like that. There's no rope that they're going to get in Philadelphia. That's for sure. But
he'll get rope, all right, but not the kind you're looking for.
but that early in the year.
I think Howie Roseman's safe. I think he's got street cred. It's Sirianni, yeah. I think the fans are just about fed up with.
That early in the season, Ira, I almost look at it like if the Eagles are struggling and they get to go on the road, that might just be a big burden. They can play freely because the home fans won't be there, at least I don't know. It's early for me, but I know what you're saying.
You can look at it that way.
Sage, one thing, you mentioned the pass rush, so I got to mention this. Both of you guys, you don't like to mention Randy Gregory. Now, I understand that his history, but he's at least shown, other than other guys, that he can have some success in the league, rushing the passer on a limited basis. I believe they have high expectations for him, and I think he's going to get every chance. Especially, and I was told that the reason he was signed before the draft, like he was, and he didn't get a league minimum contract, is because there was demand out there. And, you know, we'll see if he can light a little bit of a spark, whatever that is. I get the feeling that all those guys you mentioned, and you throw in Anthony Nelson in there, I think the Bucks are almost looking at it like, all right, Yaya's our guy, and we're going to just play with six others and see if we can find one hot hand, and we'll ride that for a while.
I think that's the plan, Steve. You're a little higher on Gregory than I am. I'll let Lee weigh in on it. But Lee, I think Gregory will get a chance early in the season to claim that job in most of the snaps, maybe off the left side. But to me, he looks like a 4 or 5 sack guy. That's my opinion.
You're not wrong, Ira. There's a reason why I don't bring up Gregory, because I can't see him doing much. And I know Steve's trying to build him up like, who's the guy from South Carolina? I can't think of his name, pass rush.
Clowney,
yeah. If I thought he was of any value, I'd talk about him. I don't think he's of any value, you know. So you guys got to be going here, so I might as well spit it out.
By midseason, if I had to predict, Steve, and I don't think you disagree with me necessarily, I think by midseason, Braswell's getting most of the snaps over Gregory. That's just the way I look at it.
Yeah, I'm not trying to build anybody up. I'm just saying what I believe the Bucs are thinking, which is just, hey, well, Yaya's going to roll. We're going to give him a lot of snaps, and we're just going to just see what happens with the other guys because they don't really know what they have. And, I hope Braswell plays well and shows well against the run, at least proves that he can do something as a situational pass rusher. But I think the coaches think, hey, we got a lot of names and we'll just flow them through. We'll figure out what's best. Todd Bowles will pick out packages for these guys. And what I was going to mention is the trade deadline this year is a little bit later, and it comes after that Patrick Mahomes game. The next day is the trade deadline. And I think that's sort of a very interesting dynamic this year, because if the Bucs get Tristan Wirfs' contract signed, done, like they hope to, that'll give them even more flexibility with the cap in season. And if they have to make a move, if none of these guys are stepping up, if they have to make a move or feel they have to get a pass rusher, maybe they're 5-3 and just lost to Kansas City because they couldn't get pressure on Mahomes. Maybe they make a deal there. But
and the Glazers would not hesitate at all.
Yeah, if they think the team is good, of course.
Yeah. Now, Steve, last point for me. You know, you mentioned something, and it's true, Steve, but it's been true for the last 2 years, Steve. Let's be honest. They cobbled together the pass rush, Lee, without a double-digit guy, and this guy gets 5.5, and this guy gets 4.5, and, Lee, that's kind of the way they've done it for the past 2 years. I don't see it being much different this year.
Yeah.
And it's not what you want, Lee. It's not the way you like it.
I want some hellraiser coming off the edge. They're breathing fire, and the team's got a game plan against. And when a quarterback takes 2 steps back, he's about ready to have an accident in his pants because he's so scared of the dude. That's what I want.
And that would
ease up first.
Yes, and that would create more opportunities, Lee, for guys like Vea and Kancey. No question about it.
Yeah. I didn't look this up. I guess I could have while we were talking. But I saw this on Twitter, but who knows if it's right. Did Antoine Winfield actually have more sacks than Vea last year?
Yes.
No wonder he made bank.
I don't think this is going to go to his head. And, Rapone, Steve, Rapone's going to be all over, checking for any signs of complacency. I don't think there's going to be any. But Rapone's been around a few blocks in his day. Lee, I'm not concerned at all about anything going to Winfield's head. Zero.
No, I don't think he's like that at all. Number one, I don't think his dad would tolerate him getting like that. I think his dad would come right down on top of him. I mean, he talks to his dad weekly about game plans and stuff. And that might be the last guy you have to worry about getting too big of a head.
Steve, what's your level of concern about Devin White making a beeline for Baker Mayfield in week 4?
It'll be fun to watch, Ira. It'll be fun to watch. No concern. It'll be fun. And Sage, I know you got to head out. You got some things to do. We got to remind everybody, floridaselite.com. Go there now. Prepare for any sort of storm damage, fire, whatever could happen in your home that affects your property like that. floridaselite.com, as we mentioned before, that's your first call. 24/7, they'll come out, give you a free evaluation. You know, Sage, that pass rush, we're going to see it. And the reason I'm saying, Sage, that they'll just put whoever's successful out there is the numbers were so poor on the quarterback hits last year. They didn't have They didn't have one edge rusher with double-digit quarterback hits. You're not going to find that around the NFL.
Absolutely, Steve.
You know, and even guys on the street like Clowney were 20 quarterback hits. And, they've you know, the Bucks know what this is supposed to look like from an edge rush because we've had it here before, but it's not there now. But we'll find out, Ira. We'll find out soon enough, and we'll be back, of course, with our podcast. You have a final thought as you say goodbye to Bucks Nation?
Yeah, just to amplify what you just said, Steve. Lee, that is the reason that I say that if a guy like Verse or Robinson from Penn State, had they been there, Lee, at 26, maybe we'll get the story 5 years from now, maybe. But Lee, maybe they don't draft Graham Barton at that point, and they take the pass rusher for the exact reason you're saying, Lee. It's nice to have that double-digit guy. He makes everybody around him better, Lee. And right now, it doesn't look like they've got that guy.
No, they don't. And I can't do the what-if too much because, you know what? If it wasn't for the virus, I would have been sitting probably next to Gronkowski's girlfriend at training camp one time. But there you go.
Oh, that's depressing. All right. All right, Sage, feel good, and we will be back with some of your wisdom, with some fun next week. Enjoy the weekend, and don't be rolling down the street too much in that walker, Ira. You never know what kind of woman is going to sweep you off your feet.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon.